Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Sunday, October 27th, 2019. And everybody, thank your man, George Kittle. It's National Tight End Day worldwide. The Hawkeyes had a young tight end step up and make a couple good plays. Laporta showing out. We're going to talk about it all. Episode 59. Let's have a day.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. Another episode, number 59 of the podcast. 10 points short of 69, but we'll get there eventually, and that's going to make for a fun joke, and I'm going to enjoy the 69 joke for the entire 69th episode, but we're not there yet, so I'm going to digress on 69. What I'm not going to digress on is the fact that Northwestern's offense looks worse than Pat Fitzgerald's man tits. That's one of the worst football teams I've ever seen. I'm glad that one's behind us. We had to go into a shitty environment, shitty locker room, smells like buttholes, and come out of there with a win, but that's good. And we got the job done, so let's talk about it. And here we go.
There you go. Fire intro. We could probably just leave it there, honestly. Probably speaks for the whole, really, about everything we're about to say. So, there's that. Welcome in, everybody. As Drake said, it is National Tight Ends Day. And I just want to celebrate that. We're going to get into that a little bit as well. Our very own George Kittle created his own day.
The most famous man in football behind Tom Brady and Mahomes, maybe. He's like top five.
He really is. When you create your own day, you know you've made it. And George is on that level. George is living a really good life. And it's fun to watch.
I got to get my hands on one of his bobbleheads. I snapped him yesterday and told him that he better save one for me. Because if I don't get a George Kittle, Kittle 316 bobblehead, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I think fans who are entering the stadium, I didn't know there first so many fans to get into the stadium get a bobblehead or whatever, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they're making 30,000 of them or something like that. So if I can't get my hands on one, we're gonna have some serious issues.
Yeah, it's wild. So George is a superstar, and I put down a bunch of stuff for him. We'll get into that later once we get into the Hawks. But yeah, it's Sunday, about 9:30 in the morning. And as you said, Drake, we went in there yesterday, the Hawks did, and just it was one of those environments. Like, it never seems to be an exciting time when you're going to Northwestern or to Purdue.
Yeah,
or
like playing college football is supposed to be a celebration. Like, college football Saturdays are a celebration of everything that, you know, we go through. And so when you get off the bus and walk into just a shit environment, for me, it took a little bit of the fun away, but it always made for a little more fun beating the piss out of somebody in a shitty environment, because then you just kind of, you get to bury them in a sense.
Yeah, so, you could kind of feel that energy. You can feel the energy through the TV, like feel this through the screen. Now a year and a half into not playing and watching a lot of the games on the couch, you get a very similar sense of what the players are feeling in that kind of environment through the TV. You can see how the weather is. You can see how the guys are standing on the sideline, the demeanor, how everybody's carrying themselves, celebrations or not after each play, stuff like that. And it just was like, yesterday was a strict business trip for the Hawkeyes, and business was done. They got done what they needed to, in about the most least exciting fashion. There's a couple positive things actually from the offense, a couple exciting things. Defense, as always, did great. Let's start there. With the defense, and
this is usually a spot where I would let Kevin take over, but we just got a text that he is on a business phone call, so I'm going to try and do my best here. It's our defense is an exciting thing to watch. Like, when you're a football fan, you always want your offense on the field because that means you're scoring points and winning games. And I completely agree with that, except for the fact that I just really enjoy watching our defense play ball because they make other teams' lives miserable, especially a team that has an offense so bad as Northwestern. So, like, it's not like our defense really had a test or anything. They didn't have to go out there and they didn't learn anything about themselves, that's for sure. But they just went out there and dominated and took care of their business like our defense does. And again, it was just a fun performance to watch.
Yeah. I think the best part about our defense is there's a lot of defenses in the country that, we play a different style. We play that bend, don't break. And I think this year's defense is one of the ultimate bend, don't breaks. There are times where even yesterday Northwestern, on a couple drives, they get a few passes going, a run here or there. They put together a short drive, 6-7 plays, and eventually it just stalls out. And that kind of grindiness that the defense goes out there, digs in, and says, "Hey, we'll take you out 15, 20 plays here if we have to, but as long as we aren't forced in bad field position to start this drive, we know that eventually in this 60, 70, 80 yards that you have to go, we're going to win out over a 4-play set." And they prove time and time again that that's the case. And it's really nothing flashy from them either. There's a good sack every once in a while. Cedric had a good sack yesterday. Epinesa had a couple nice pressures. I thought the linebackers played pretty well. We'll get Kevin in here in a second. Actually, Kev, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
You're good. Welcome to the show. What did you think about the defense yesterday?
I mean, they played well. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I mean, right. They were playing against the JV team. They were literally playing against the worst offense in the Big Ten and one of the worst in the entire country.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard to feel that great about it. But you know what? You can only play who shows up. So
right.
You know, you blanked them. You can't really do much better than that.
Pass the test for sure.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I think we talked about it on Thursday, like, Phil and Seth, they were just like licking their chops, just waiting to get a chance at these guys. Cause
yeah,
It's hard to feel good about how well the defense played when you know how bad Northwestern's offense was.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that for a second, too. I tweeted yesterday about being a Northwestern fan. It's got to be really tough this year. Their offense, you know, we've been around a lot of football, obviously, and though I don't know a whole lot about the real deep X's and O's, I'm not stupid enough to not recognize that offense is probably, I mean, it's up there, their current state at least. I mean, I know they're banged up. They're on X number quarterback, whatever. They're not full strength, but the current state of their...
The dude that transferred from Clemson just isn't good either. So
right. Five-star doesn't make any sense. The current state of their offense, I really think in the last 2 years plus our 5 years playing, so 7 years' time, when I've really been in tune with Iowa football, off the top of my head, cannot name a worse offense than them that we've played. And that includes maybe going back to like Western Michigan when we beat them 63-7 or 63-0. That might have been close, but we haven't played a team that bad offensively in a very long time.
I had this conversation in my house yesterday watching the game while I was laughing about the product that they put on the field. I was like, can you imagine – the feeling of 10 months ago being in the Big Ten championship at the pinnacle of your conference, and now you're sitting here with one win and six losses, and you're not going to make a bowl game, and you're just one of the worst teams ever.
They might lose every other game on their schedule. Never mind. They get to play UMass in a little bit, but other than that, I think they have to play Indiana, Purdue, and Illinois, and I think they're going to be dogs in every single one of those games.
They should be. Because you can't win a game if you can't score points. And their defense doesn't help them out either. Their defense is...
It's an average defense.
It's okay. Which makes me feel...
The announcers need to quit eating Patty Fisher's meat so much because it's honestly getting disgusting.
Patty Fisher is
really fucking good. Like, really.
He's a good linebacker.
Yeah. If I were him, I'd be piecing the fuck out of there because I wouldn't want to have to deal with... having a shitty offense and having the ugliest cheerleaders in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I would get on an accelerated academic route to grad transferring because he could definitely.
No, he's going straight to the NFL, dude. He's like 6'4", 255 pounds.
Yeah, that's the get out of there I'm talking about, Clue.
Oh, is he a senior?
He's a true junior.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, he can bounce that.
Some tackles. He's actually a really good player. It's just the fact that the announcers just won't quit sucking on him.
Well, crazy. I mean, they literally have nothing else good to talk about Northwestern. They have to appear somewhat unbiased.
He is the
bright spot on their team for sure. Physical specimen. That dude he's a beast. Not as physical. Real quick, I just want to throw this in. Chase Young is stupid good, and he is not human.
Ohio State is stupid good.
Let's bring them up in a second. Let's finish this Hawk game quick. Or at least the defense real quick. Defense did what they did. You can't get better than 100% on a test, and that's what they did. No points allowed. Obviously, they're going to be a slightly more tested in the weeks to come, and that'll be exciting to see what they can do. Offensively, I thought we saw some good stuff. I thought that it was a good game for the offensive line to, you know, we played a couple powerhouses, and then like Purdue is kind of like a recovery game. Like, okay, we're playing some not elite level teams anymore. And this was another one of those games where it was like, okay, another one to get to take a step in the right direction. And we saw some nice things. We saw Tracy ball out in the absence of Brandon Smith. We got to see a little bit of a young tight end in Laporta. We got to see Stanley a couple times in a nice, clean pocket, be able to do what Stanley's capable of doing, which is make really good throws. And I thought there was a lot of exciting stuff. The running backs played good. What did you guys think?
You want to take it, Kev?
You're the offensive dude.
All right. I didn't know if you had any comments. I went first on defense. I didn't know if we were following the pattern. Nate is good, man. I'm so glad that he has had the opportunity in bad weather the past 2 weeks to go out there with a little more time than he had the weeks before and just throw the ball like we knew he could. Because, like, I think maybe he needed that for his confidence, but if it wasn't for his confidence, it certainly should have helped all of you Nate Stanley haters' confidence, because this guy can really sling it. And, like, he's ripping the laces off the ball right now. He's getting the ball on guys at the right time. They're making plays. I don't have anything bad to say about our pass game, except for obviously we always need to continue to shore up the interior offensive line. Like, that's going to be an issue until the 2019 season is put to bed, probably. So let's just keep shoring that up as rapidly as possible, because that's the most important thing in this football season right now. Secondly, the run game needs to get better, but I think that all comes with improvement in the interior of the offensive line, because our tackles, they don't, like, obviously everybody needs to improve. You never want to stop improving, but they're not the issue. They're not the ones that need to improve. So we've got great bookends. We've got good blocking tight ends, and we've got good running backs. So as soon as the interior offensive line shores up, I think this offense just goes from sputtering to good to very good, like quickly.
Yeah, and they're going to have to shore up real quick, because in 2 weeks we got one of the best defenses in the Big Ten coming at us. But no, I think you hit some good points. The run game did improve, especially in the second half. We started breaking off some bigger runs. It's always good to see. It's really hard to just throw your way to victory. So, I mean, unless you're Mike Leach and you literally only just throw the ball. But no, I mean, tough conditions, wet day, shitty field, overgrown grass, because they think it gives them an advantage somehow. I talked to my brother about that. He's like, yeah, we know it doesn't make sense, but it's just kind of our thing.
So stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, the offense, they played all right. I wouldn't say they played great. I wouldn't say they played bad. They played all right. And they just, you know, we got the job done. We didn't beat ourselves was the biggest thing. We didn't turn the ball over, and we, you know, we forced the turnover and got some fourth down stops on defense. Yeah, I mean, it was good. It was good IO football. We didn't beat ourselves. That's basically was kind of the theme of the week, I'd say, is whoever's going to play more sound football is going to win. And, you know, we did the job. I don't know. I got much
else after that. Yeah, it's really, that's about it. There's not a lot to break down about this game. It was like a very just like common football game for Iowa. There wasn't a whole lot of excitement, and what you saw was what you saw. I was really hoping that after that first possession, when we got that interception, that we were going to go for like three or four turnovers. That would have made me look so smart. And for a second there, I was like, hey, I might come away with something here.
well, I mean, basically, but then, you can count the turnover on downs, turnovers. I mean, I know, essentially, yeah. Is. I think, you know, when we calculated up our turnovers as like a defense on Sunday mornings, we basically counted those as turnovers because –
Right, I
mean, because they are. You made the offense turn the ball over. It counts to me. I'm on board with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to pose a question
to you two, and that is, Drake, you mentioned Northwestern was in the championship. We all know it last year. For better or worse, you know, were they a championship football team?
No, they had to backdoor their way into it, but they had a really strong end of the season. So, I mean, they were playing their best football.
Nonetheless, they're in the championship game. And regardless of how you get there, that you can't deny that that's the place you want to be as a program, at least in the Big Ten with the way the Big Ten's set up in the divisions. You want to win your division, and you want to be there with a chance to win the whole thing at the end for your conference. and now they're so bad.
I don't know what it feels like to be this bad. I've never been this bad in football in my life.
And yeah, and this is the question I want to ask you two, and it's more of a speculative question. I'm curious to see what you guys actually think about it. How does one team, you know, because there's always attrition and you lose guys, but you're usually set up pretty well to at least, you know, if you're going to have a down.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
You're the next year, and it just happens to be one of those times you're going to be young or whatever the case. Maybe you lose two or three more games than you did the year before, but your program shouldn't dip that much. On the same side, you shouldn't be able to have such a wild improvement unless something weird happens, like a new coaching staff and a completely new recruiting class or something weird like that. But what do you guys think about this vast parity between last year's Northwestern team and this year's Northwestern team? It seems like something like that should not be able to happen. Like
in poker we would call this extreme polarity, and I don't understand, like, if you have a championship team, that means you should have like a strong culture. And if you have a strong culture, like, you know, the work that we do in the off season and like all of the time that we put in together, there's no way that work turns into 1-6. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. if we can get on the same brainwave with this thought, is like, we would have had to have slacked off fucking horrible and hated each other and had cliques within the team and, you know, everything that makes a bad team, to still put in that much work or whatever and have that outcome. So there's something within that program that is just like a cancer, because you don't go from being a championship team to, even if you have injuries, man, the Hawks are notorious for having injuries, this year included, but we're not a 1-6 or 1-7, whatever they are, football team. Like, you're literally dying as a program if that's what your record is.
Okay, for the more mellow take, I mean, they were only an 8-4 team last year. They just clawed their way into the Big Ten championship.
8-4, dude. We've been happy in some 8-4 locker rooms.
Yeah, I'm saying that. I mean, they didn't go from
they're not
11-1 to 1-6 is what I'm saying. And you know, their schedule this year is pretty front loaded. They lost a tight game versus Stanford, and they literally just dropped the ball versus Nebraska. So I mean, they could easily be, you know,
3-5, 4
team right now or whatever. 3-5, whatever. How many games they played?
I don't know.
And you know, in programs like that, you know, it's you know, when do you win the close games? You know, when you don't win the close games, you're gonna have a shitty record. No, they have taken a significant regression. I mean, their offense wasn't great last year either. I mean, we played them. I think our game with them last year was like 14-10.
It was slow scoring.
I don't know. I think their defense has gone from being good to being average, and their offense has not been able to make up the difference. Is probably
They just, they just can't find any continuity. I think maybe some of it, it's not probably, it 100% is a combination of many things, because with something as complex as a Division I football program, it always is. It's never just black and white. I think there's probably a lot of what Drake was talking about. It's a culture thing. For some reason, the culture that they had established over the last few years didn't translate to the current senior and junior classes, and so the leadership probably took a hit as well, and they just didn't carry that into the offseason like they should have. I don't know. Crazy to me. Anyway,
speaking
we'll move
of
on.
Former Big Ten West championship teams, did you guys just get Josie Snapp?
Haven't opened it yet, but I can look at it.
Yeah, just go ahead and open it.
Josie Jewell. Snap to the Benton Savages. Indy locker room bringing up bad memories. So Josie is Denver at Indianapolis, obviously, today, which is a good segue because we're going to segue into the NFL a little bit and talk about our boy George. That was the saddest locker room that I've ever been a part of, and it wasn't even close.
So, yeah. Josie plays for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, they're at Indianapolis in the same away locker room that we were in back in 2015. And yes, that was I just remember like people just sitting around,
yep,
just quiet, like sitting in their pads for
an
like,
hour,
20 minutes after Cam was done talking, just, you know, not getting it off, not going to the showers, just sitting around. It's like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most like, we're not going to talk
about it. Yeah. Because that was,
if we talk about it more, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, that was one of the darkest evenings of my entire life. So I'm going to stay away from that.
Yep, we're done. But moving on, we mentioned at the top of the episode that George Kittle, our friend, has created his entirely own day and has turned into an actual thing. Today, October 27th of 2019, is the inaugural National Tight End Day in the NFL. Real quickly, back to the Hawks quick. Nice little bright spot for the Hawks yesterday. A young guy, I believe his first name is Sam LaPorta, made a couple awesome plays, great catches. And that's going to be exciting to see once Doyle gets a few more years with him, what he can turn into. I know that George and Noah and TJ have done great things for us in the tight end recruiting. And so I'm excited to see what the Hawks can bring up the chain with the tight ends we have coming up. But anyway, George has created his own day. He has The Rock following him and shouting him out on Twitter. If those of you who follow him on social media, he's wearing cleats today that say Kittle 316 with like a skull and crossbones on them today, like custom cleats. They're so sweet.
That's a big deal to George, man. The Rock and Stone Cold, like him,
it's incredible.
Him being at the pinnacle of the NFL and getting the recognition from those guys, like he is actually in heaven because those are his idols. Like George is a wrestling guy.
Yeah.
Those are his fucking guys to his heart, like to his core.
Yep.
So I can't even imagine. It's like Tiger Woods hitting me up. I would die.
Not only that, we've got, you know, he has his whole thing since he's been out in San Francisco. He goes to Panda Express on Mondays during the season. He calls it Panda Mondays. Well, he's now, obviously, they jumped on in with him. Panda and George have a partnership where he does advertisements all the time on Twitter and Instagram. And I saw that they sent him a bunch of cupcakes celebrating National Tight End Day. So he is at the pinnacle of life right now. Like he's really doing it big and taking advantage of everything. And that's super fun to see. I'm so jealous of what he's been able to accomplish. He deserves it. Works his ass off. He is the perfect formula of hard work and good genetics and a little bit of luck and grinding and sticking to it and everything. And it's fun to watch, man. Real quickly, Kev, let's touch on the awards winners from last week and just talk about that real quick before we move on.
Rant, rant, rant. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. Rough week. So the parlay that I sent you guys or talked to you guys about last on Thursday was Pittsburgh minus five at 11 o'clock. They decided that they don't like scoring touchdowns and only like kicking field goals in the red zone. So they didn't win. They lost to Miami by, I think, like four. Let's see. Penn State minus 6.5. They beat the shit out of Michigan State in a miserable looking game up at East Lansing.
Yeah.
And then Notre Dame plus 1.5 versus Michigan. Notre Dame.
They really shit the bed.
Awful. Awful. They're coming off a bye week, and that's what they put on film? It was awful. It was a torrential downpour in the first half.
Wet.
Like, it was impossible to throw the ball, and they were just letting Michigan run the ball all over them. Like, what the hell do you think they're going to do? They ran the ball 18 times in a row at one point. Like, is there anything more, like, embarrassing when you just, you know they're going to run the ball and you can't do anything about it?
Big Ten Twitter was aflames last night with, please bring Notre Dame in the Big Ten so we can all piss on them.
I would like
that. It looked great for the Big Ten, and, it makes the Hawks look a little bit better, but, dude, that was embarrassing for Notre Dame. That was horrendous. So, yeah. I couldn't have been more wrong on that one, but silver lining. This isn't going to make the fans feel any better, but it makes me feel better. After Pittsburgh, killed the parlay at 11 a.m., I'm just like, well, I'm not just going to sit around and watch football all day and not have any action. So what do? We go ahead and start up a new parlay. So I still liked Penn State, hit them again. And then I had the over in the Texas TCU game at 57, and that hit. And then the line had moved so much on Notre Dame, I didn't like it anymore. But I went ahead and hit the Air Force minus 3.5 versus Utah State, and they ended up winning, I think, by like 20 or something like that. So I hit a parlay. I'm sorry for the fans. I didn't get you a winner, but I feel good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't give away all your secrets. Like, you have to learn for yourself and fend for yourself out there in the betting world. So that's good for you, Kev. I do real quickly before we end this episode, I want to touch on a couple other Big Ten talking points.
Before we leave the NFL, I'm going to also allow Kevin the opportunity to talk about his other win last week, which was in fantasy over me, because I am a cuck and I didn't check my lineup and left Devontae Adams in the game and he was not even in uniform. So
yikes. He scored 0 points. Which league was that in? Was that in the degenerate league?
Yeah, I was in the degenerate league.
Okay. Let me bring it up real quick. Prestige Worldwide 123 versus Whole Team for Sale 90. So, I don't think Devontae Adams, this actually wasn't anything that you could do. You would have lost either way.
Okay.
But if that makes you feel any better, I don't know. But yeah,
I love that
worldwide.
Wow. Yeah. Wide.
With the win.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Anyway, fantasy, I love these Saturday or Sunday morning podcasts because then we get off and I get to check my lineup before the games start up.
The Sunday morning fantasy sweat on the DirecTV like four screen deal it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Clue, I'm playing you today in the college league.
Yeah, and you're probably going to beat me. You had a good start with Stephon Diggs the other night. So
yeah, but Kamara's not playing today.
I saw that. I'm a little worried about it, but we'll see. It's going to be a close one, I think. I still truly believe that potential-wise, we're the two best teams in that league. My record definitely doesn't say so, but I think – regardless, moving on to the Big Ten, just to finish this podcast and talk about a few more hot topics. So touched on Chase Young earlier being an alien. Real quickly, is there a team more complete and more like, I know the SEC is athletic, but the way that Ohio State plays football, like the way that they were attacking Wisconsin yesterday, they made Wisconsin look like high schoolers.
First of all, Justin Fields is absolutely Cam Newton 2.0. I would be shocked if he didn't win a Heisman by the time he's out of college.
I mean, dude, they just look so good. Wisconsin did a good job. They were hanging around with them in the first half, and you know, about halfway through the third quarter before Ohio State just kind of broke.
That's a legit defense over there in Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be.
Oh, we have a problem.
Let's just hit the under again in 2 weeks. Wisconsin versus Iowa.
Quit, smash the under button.
Iowa's also 8-0 versus the under this year. So I mean, just keep betting that. Ohio State, they just look so good. I truly think that they are the best team in the country. And I honestly, I'm excited for this year's college football playoff because there's, you know, the last several years it's been Alabama, Clemson, who's going to win. Now I think there's legitimately four teams that, you know, we don't know who's going to come out between them.
I agree.
I think LSU could definitely beat Alabama in a couple weeks, especially if Tua is not healthy.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, their backup is awesome. But still, that's going to be a fun game to watch. Between Clemson, but Clemson hasn't played anyone this year. But I mean, they are rolling people. I don't know. Who knows? Alabama,
they're Clemson.
Ohio State. How about Oklahoma? Oklahoma has been looking solid every single game, and they just drop one to K-State?
Yeah, it was their defense, man. Their defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. And then Jalen Hurts tried to pick it up late. He played unreal late. Their offense made plays, but they just literally ran out of clock.
I think with that game, they got exposed a little bit, which always happens. You know, the team found a week.
Because in the Big 12, I mean, you don't play a tough schedule, really. So it's hard for them to drop one and, you know, still have an argument at the end. But we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Yep.
Because I do think they are a very good team.
I do, too. I think with their offensive potential, regardless of how bad their defense plays, if their defense can just find anything on a specific day, they could also hang with Alabama and all those teams. It'll be interesting to watch for sure, like you said at the end. I think there's four, five, six teams who have a chance. Finally, and don't want to hang too much on it because we'll talk about it next week in preview, but Minnesota goes out and blows Maryland out of the water. And the Gophers are about to figure out if they're a real team or not. And I think it's going to be very interesting. I know that it's just Minnesota, but you know, they've done it. They're 8-0 and they're going in. You can't control who you play. They've had insane parity in their season. They won the first four games by like 3 points or less, and now they've won the last four by like 32 points or more. Really weird season they got going on. They have a ton of confidence up there, and they this is the most important week of their season. They're about to figure out if they're actually playing with the big boys or not, and I think that's going to be interesting to watch against Penn State this next week.
Yeah, I mean, you basically hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, they have played a soft schedule, and I don't think anyone in Minnesota would even deny that. But at the same time, they've beaten everyone on their schedule. So, I mean, what else can you say about them? In the last 4 weeks, they've played very impressively. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to win Big Ten games, and they've done the last four on an impressive fashion. So maybe they're for real up there. We'll find out.
The one weird thing that we know about Minnesota, because we have a unique perspective on this, we've been there, they have the chip on their shoulder of being an undefeated team and being called overrated and hearing everything that they haven't proved anything and this, that, and the other. So, like, their players do have that chip on their shoulder, which we know carries weight, but I'm still one of those guys that doesn't think they're actually shit.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out what they're made of when they play Penn State next week. But at the same time, I mean, you guys remember, every week goes by and you're still undefeated. It just gets more and more exciting, and you get more and more amped up just to go out to practice. You know what I mean? So there's something to be said about a team that's, you know, excited to be undefeated and, you know, just going out and getting wins every week. So, you know, momentum's a thing that carries over not just in games but week to week. So.
Yep. I'm with you, Kev. I think each week, you know, it, regardless of who's put in front of you, I tell people this all the time. It doesn't matter if it's UMass. It's hard to go win a football game in college. It takes a lot, and it's a daily process throughout the week.
I mean, when it's UMass, I mean, then it's different.
UMass, you could probably take a week off to show up on Saturday and do it. But with anybody else, especially the last 4 weeks for Minnesota and Big Ten play, they've gone out and they've done it. And I think with each week, they've actually impressed a little bit more, proven that they're not a dog shit team for sure. They're a good team, but are they a great team? Are they a team that deserves to be 8-0 and in the conversation for a potential Big Ten championship? And we all, as we said, they're going to figure that out really, really fast on Saturday versus the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what that line is. I'm really excited.
Going to be interesting for sure.
You know, and the thing is, if they lose that game, then it's literally a, you know, open race in the West between
open,
wide open,
which makes 2 weeks from now against the Badgers in Camp Randall a huge game, the biggest game of the year
since 2015 versus Michigan State, maybe.
Probably close. That's it. You guys got anything else? That was a long episode, but there was a lot to talk about. We kind of found some more content as we went along. Anything?
I don't know, man. All I got is the Hawks won, Nebraska lost, Iowa State lost. It was a good Saturday. I hit a parlay, and I'm not hungover, so I'm happy.
I got a poker story for y'all that we can either tell on or off the podcast.
I think we leave it.
That one.
All right.
Yeah. 38 minutes. You got a little extra meat on the bone this week, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. That was episode 59. Hope you guys enjoy your week. Hopefully this starts off your Monday nice and hot, and enjoy the bye week. Nothing to worry about this week. We will be back. That's it for us. Have a good one. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.